The gospel story that we heard in the first part of the gospel today, the cure of the mother-in-law of Simon, was the first healing miracle of Jesus in the gospel of Mark, if we don't count the expulsion of the spirit, just the story before this one. And this is quite significant because if we will survey the public life of Jesus in the Gospels, a bulk of his public ministry is devoted to healing, physical healing. We might say that he did not cure all the blind, all the lame, all the crippled, all those with fever, just like the mother-in-law of Simon in the whole of Galilee during those 3 years. But we cannot discount that Jesus' public ministry is really marked with a lot of physical healing. But again, he did not cure all the sick during that time because he will not have time. Because he did not come to be a wonder worker, a miracle worker, but rather all the things that he did, including his healing ministry, really wants to point to the ultimate healing that he will do, which will transcend time, place, and space, and that is the healing on the cross, in the cross. The healing of our soul, the healing of our humanity, which we reap the fruits of it and the generations to come as well. But we can also say that through this physical healing, we saw the attitude of God to us. Sickness, apart from the physical aches and ailment that we experience, the most difficult part of it is really the isolation. And I'm not just talking about the COVID. You know, just think of that time when you really got sick and you're just confined in bed, in your bedroom. And even though how much our family members, our loved ones, friends, and even our doctor wants to assure us that they are there, it's pretty isolating. And in the end, it's the person who actually suffers ultimately knows the extent of that suffering. No one, even the person with the best intention. It's pretty isolating. And this isolation is really where God is trying to come to us, telling us that if physical sickness is already so isolating, could you imagine the experience of isolation when we experience spiritual sickness? If we have the spiritual afflictions that we battle with. The story really is very instructive. And the English translation doesn't really give us the gravity of the situation that is happening with the mother-in-law of Simon. We were told that she was suffering from a fever. When I look at the original language of this, in the original language that Mark wrote in Greek, the word that was used by Mark is not really the fever that we know of. She was actually dying. She was fighting for her life. That's how grave it is. When I hear this, it's like in the English translation, fever, it's like, I had fever, and after I took ibuprofen, Advil, or Tylenol, I was okay. What's so big deal? Why did Jesus have to intervene? You know, they can just give her something, you know, that would restore her to health. But actually, in the original Greek version of this, she was actually dying. And it's in reinforced all the more when we look at how Jesus cured her. We were told that Jesus approached her, grasped her hand, and helped her up. The phrase "help her up" in the Greek original uses the word egere, which is the same word and the only word used when we speak of the resurrection of Jesus and when he resurrected also Lazarus. So we can say in here, if the evangelist Mark had to use the word egere, which is to resurrect, you only resurrect someone who is dying. You don't resurrect someone with a simple fever. You don't resurrect someone who can be taken care of by Advil or Tylenol. This is the extent of this. Jesus actually resurrected her using the word egere because she was dying. It's interesting, you know, for us firsthand, I'm talking about myself, I thought she was just battling something that is normal or ordinary. How many times when we look at the suffering of other people, we think that's like, oh, you know, that person will gonna get over this easily. You know, sometimes we dismiss easily the suffering of other people, not knowing the extent of this, how this is actually destroying not just the physical life, but the interiority of the person. That's why, God comes to us in a very unique and special way because he is in solidarity with us in our unique experience of suffering. No one might understand how we feel. Not even, you know, I'm not married, but not even your spouse may not understand what you're experiencing or what you're suffering. But God knows our unique suffering, and it is in there that he approaches, using the words of the scripture today, he approaches us, grasp our hand, and resurrect us. There's always this mystery of human suffering. And we see this in the experience of Job in the first reading today. You know, the classic question, why do good people suffer? If God is merciful, if God is almighty, if God is all good, why does he let good people suffer? Right? That's the classic question on human suffering and the mystery of evil. You know, God did not offer us any theological explanation. God did not offer us any philosophical explanation. But what he offered for us is his divine solidarity by showing us that he himself suffered, that he experienced all of this, then there must be grace in suffering because God himself underwent it and he divinified. Is there a word in English like that? Divinified? But you get my point. Divinified any kind of suffering and make it redemptive. And God said, you know, listening from the gospel acclamation today, Christ took away our infirmities and bore our diseases. And this is really what made the difference. The only thing that made a difference. Because God suffered. He bore our humanity, our diseases, and our suffering. There must be something in there, a grace there. Just like Job was complaining, Lord, what have I done? I have been obedient to you. I followed everything, every precepts. Everything was taken from him. Everything was taken from him, including his family, his wealth, everything. But his faith persevered, and in the end, everything was restored back. My dear friends, if physical affliction is already so isolating, what are these spiritual afflictions that you experience in your life right now? It can be vice, it can be a favorite sin that we go back to over and over again. They can truly have a huge, not just can, they have a huge effect on our spiritual well-being. Physical agility, physical strength doesn't always translate to the wellness of the spirit. The wellness of the spirit. And if there's already that great isolation that we experience when we are physically sick, we have also to see the gravity of isolation in our spiritual afflictions. And Christ offers himself to be that physician, to be that healer. But we have to come to him. We have to come to him. The response of the mother-in-law of Simon to her healing is really very instructive for us. You know, we were told, using the exact words here, then the fever left her and she waited on them. She waited on them. You know, in the original version of this, the word that was used for waited on them, the word used was diakonia, where we get the word deacon. Diakonia really emphasizes that the mother-in-law of Simon did not just like, okay, now I am well in Thanksgiving, I'm just going to prepare you a meal. But rather, diakonia here emphasizes a newfound vocation on her part. And what is that vocation? The vocation of loving service. That her healing truly changed her, truly changed her perspective in life. Diakonia is not just showing up to serve, but rather it is truly embedded in our being. It becomes part of who we are. The word diakonia, as used here, waited on them. The other time that it was used also was when Jesus was in the wilderness, when we were told that the angels ministered to him. The word minister there in the Gospel of Mark also uses the word diakonia. Meaning, could you imagine the radicality of the response of the mother-in-law of Simon? She devoted her life after this to the service of the Lord. We experience miracles, healings in one way or another in our own lives. Little resurrections that we experience each day. It can be, you know, getting out of an impending accident, you know, every time. It's terrible. One of the great things about my car, which is very normal to a lot of cars, is that you have that little light in your mirror that tells you there is a car right next to you. I'm terrible before because I would not look, you know, and how many times before I got my car, which is old already, I almost got in an accident. But I always have to remind myself, look before, you know, because sometimes you just trust the side mirror. But now with that light, but even with that light, I still look now because what if it malfunctioned? But even those little times where it's like, oh, thank you, Lord. You know, this is another resurrection. But I tell myself, God save you right now, Carrie, you better do your part. You better do that loving service by always looking whenever you're changing lanes. When we experience little resurrection from God, what is our response? Do we just go back to the old practice, just like I did? Or does it change us? Does it change the way we do things? Does it change the way we relate to people? Because that's what happened with the mother-in-law of Simon. There was renewal of heart. There was renewal of mind. She embraced the path of Jekoniah.